This is Fresh Air. Let's take a look at what the newspapers reported today about the presidential campaign. President Bush is considering following his rivals onto TV talk shows. Bill Clinton has an MTV town meeting tonight. The New York Times Arts and Leisure section has an article comparing the talk show styles of Clinton and Ross Perot. Just some of the latest developments in media campaigning in the wake of Perot's success launching his campaign on The Larry King Show. My guest Robert Smoull is the author of a book about American politics in the age of personality called Statecraft and Stagecraft. He directs the program on ethics and media at the University of Notre Dame. He says the Perot phenomenon is an example of personality politics at work. Here's what he means by personality politics.
By that I mean the individual political figure who, in a self-selected way, comes to the fore and presents himself or herself to the public and says, I want to run for, and then fill in the blank, president, governor, senator, whatever. The individual over the institution. One could say the self-made person in love with his or her creator. That's one dimension to it. The other dimension, and one that I talk about in the book and think is very important, is the personality within this new culture. And I would call it a political culture, but I would also say that it's a media or celebrity-oriented culture. And you see that someone like Perot, to use him as an example, begins a campaign on a talk show and then cultivates the following by numerous other appearances on television. And let's face it, he came to us already known because of the popular culture, because of things like that television movie about the rescue of his workers over in Iran. So that the personality and the link to the popular culture is just another dimension of personality politics.
Do you think that there are any dangers implicit in personality politics?
Oh, I think there are a number of dangers, and I guess I would point to one being the cult of the personality. The idea that someone would emerge and become so powerful that our institutions could not accommodate that power, or indeed that the institution themselves would be violated. So that I see that. I also see that... let's face it, when we talk about media culture, we're talking about stars, and the brilliance of stars can blind us, and we don't see people in the whole complete way that's necessary for the informed judgment that's required.
A lot of Americans have demonstrated their disgust with politics and politicians. What do you trace that back to?
I think that there are a number of reasons. The one that I would point to would be the disconnection, the feeling that campaigns in America today operate without people. And by that I mean that the volunteer, the person who is working on behalf of a candidate, that person... really doesn't have much to do. Why? Because so much of politics today revolves around television, revolves around the advertising that the professionals are able to put on our screen. So that, I'll give you an illustration. A few weeks ago we had the primary here in Indiana, and I was down in Indianapolis and wanted to pick up information about the various candidates. And in the case of the Democratic, in the case of the Republican parties, had to go into large buildings and up several floors in order to get anything. And I said, could I have some information about so-and-so? And one of the workers says, I'm sorry, we don't print up brochures anymore. We devote all of our money to television. Now, here I was just trying to get some basic biographical and policy-related information, and that wasn't available to me. I think that the people felt as though they had lost the control and the the connection, so that with Ross Perot, and again I would say that this is one of the strengths of the campaign, you have him doing the television and fanning the flames of interest, but then you have something like 300,000 volunteers who are out there with buttons, with bumper stickers, with the petitions to get him on the ballot, and you see a resurgent of citizen activity in politics that we have not seen in several years. Why? Because the playing field changed, and it changed so that television became the main and only event.
In your book about personality politics, you trace personality politics back to the electoral reforms of the late 1960s. Would you make that connection for us?
Sure. 1968 is a very important year, and I suspect many of our listeners will remember that that was the year that saw the emergence of Gene McCarthy and Bobby Kennedy, but ultimately the candidacy of Hubert Humphrey on the Democratic side, also the candidacy of Richard Nixon on the Republican side. Coming out of the convention, the Democratic convention in Chicago in 1968, there was a sense that the people were out of the system. Hubert Humphrey never competed in a primary during that year. He was given the nomination because he was Lyndon Johnson's vice president. And after that, Gene McCarthy did a book called The Year of the People, and the people spoke, and the people said, we want a new system that allows for more open participation. And that more open participation in the presidential selection process led to the great number of primaries that we now see. It also led to the phenomenon of a person saying, I think I will run for president of the United States, this personality, rather than any sort of institutional standing at work there. So that in 1968, I believe there were 15 primaries in this country. This year, there were somewhere, it was around 36 to 38 primaries. The opening up of this process opened it up so that, yes, it is more democratic, but it also feeds on this personality politics.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Robert Smool, and he writes about personality politics. He's the author of the book Statecraft and Stagecraft, American Political Life in the Age of Personality. He's also the acting chairperson and an associate professor in the Department of American Studies at the University of Notre Dame. We're going to take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about personality politics and the current election campaign with Robert Smool. One of the things that Americans seem to be disenchanted about with American politics and politicians is that you need a whole lot of money. You basically need to be very rich to run a campaign, even, you know, with a political party behind you. And Perot, in a way, is just like the ultimate example of that. You know, he's a multi-billionaire. He's going to fund part of his campaign out of his own pocket. He's offering to make some changes for the country out of his own pocket. So do you see him as heading in a direction that would lead us even closer to the idea that to be a politician in America, you need to be very, very rich?
That's interesting, and I think that his wealth cuts two ways. It cuts in the direction of, look at this man, he's a billionaire. But I would say that he has rather cleverly portrayed himself as saying that he is the servant of the people, as saying that he's only doing it because the people want him to do it. Go back to the interview with Larry King. If people put me on the ballot in 50 states, I will do it. He is putting the burden on the people and then saying, okay, then I will spend my own money in order to help those people. He is a salesman, and he has found a way of selling himself quite effectively with the American public.
Do you think that perhaps one of the reasons why so many people are behind Perot with his billions is that they feel that his billions will make him immune to being corrupted by money or by special interests?
Oh, I think so. I think that I would say that Ross Perot is different from, say, a Nelson Rockefeller, to use an example. People would say, my gosh, he bought the governor's chair in New York. But they looked at that differently. They said he used his family money in order to do it. With Perot, it's his own money, and he has earned it. And by using his own money, he then is able to sort of inoculate us to the sense of him doing something that is wrong in order for him to be elected. And I think it's a way of saying, look, the special interests are too much involved in the process, and these PACs have too much of a say. I will not accept money from them, and as a result of that, not be beholden to those particular interests.
Do you think that the visits of candidates to the talk shows now is going to mean the end of the League of Women Voters style debates?
No. I think that the debates will take place, and I think that it is probably very important that they do take place. Why? Because it brings together the candidates, and they can deal with the same issues at the same time so that people can see them together. No, I see it as a supplement, as a way for these particular candidates to get their messages across at this particular time.
One last question. I know that you are one of the many people who has been disillusioned with the direction campaigning and politics had been heading in. But do you think what we're seeing now in the presidential campaign is reform in a productive direction, or do you think it's getting us further away from where we should be heading?
I'm not sure that that I would use the word reform in talking about 1992. By that I mean that I see much of it as being improvisational. I see Perot emerging and then people reacting to that, and his use of talk shows allows for the others to get into the act. To the extent that we see longer formats and more discussion of issues, I think that is a plus. But until we get to the hard facts of changing the system so that it works in a more responsive and responsible way, I guess I don't see much change in our politics.
Robert Smuel, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Robert Smuel directs the program on ethics and media at the University of Notre Dame. His latest book is Statecraft and Stagecraft, American Political Life in the Age of Personality. This is Fresh Air.